And good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Interoperability Standards Workgroup. I'm Mike Berry with ONC, and we are glad that you could be with us today. All of our workgroup meetings are open to the public, and your feedback is welcomed, which could be typed in the Zoom chat feature throughout the meeting, or could be made verbally during the public comment period that is scheduled at about 11:55 Eastern Time this morning. So I'll begin roll call of our workgroup members, and when I call your name, please indicate if you are here. And I'll start with our co-chairs, Sarah DeSilvi.
Here.
Nuree Sundar Rajan.
Here.
Pooja Babra.
Morning.
Shai LeBlend.
Present.
Ricky Bloomfield.
Good morning.
Hans Gutendijk.
Good morning.
Christina Caraballo.
Morning.
Grace Cordovano should be joining us in a little bit. Raj Dash.
Good morning.
E. Beichner.
Good morning.
Nidra Geert.
Good morning.
Raj Gadbarti.
Good morning.
Bryant Thomas Karras.
Present.
Stephen Lane.
Good morning.
Hung Lu.
Good morning.
Meg Marshall.
Hi, good morning.
Anna McAllister. Clem McDonald. Devin McGraw.
I'm here. Thank you.
Aaron Meary. Aaron Neinstein. PK Lama Ocean Canton.
Good morning.
Mark Savage.
Good morning.
Michelle Schreiber. And I think Joel or Joel's with us today as her alternate. Is that right, Joel? I see Joel on the line. Joel's from CMS. Shelly Spiro, or Spiro, sorry, Shelly.
It's Spiro here.
Oh, thank you. And Ram Sharam.
I'm sorry, this is Joel. I am on the line. I just couldn't get off the mute in time.
Great. Thank you, Joel. All right. Well, thank you so much, everyone. And now please join me in welcoming Sarah and Nareesh for their opening remarks.
I'll just go first. Hello, everybody. And it's great to be back with you all to keep further our work on our charge from HITACH and the ONC. We do hope to get to work today in analyzing elements on the spreadsheet. There's been some work on that asynchronously since our last meeting, and hoping to move toward some recommendations from the committee and some identification of missing level two elements by the end of the meeting and ongoing. Naresh, any other thoughts?
Thanks a lot again, Sarah. So I think that's pretty much what we are going to move forward with today, and looking forward for the session. Thank you again.
Thank you. So next slide, please. Next slide. Hopefully this is now becoming so thoroughly ingrained that it need not be said, but just reminding us collectively of the charge for our time, remembering our recommendations are due by April 12th, but in order to finalize again our recommendations and collate a formal recommendation, we need to complete our work well in advance of that. Our work again is twofold, reviewing new data classes and elements from draft USCD IV and recommending any elements in level two data classes and elements not included in draft USCD IV. Again, I wanna make sure that folks are leveraging the share Google document for this work, adding any level two elements at the base of the spreadsheet. Again, there's precedent from our colleague Grace on that, and then collectively hoping to review the new data classes that are on the top of the sheet with the submitter ONC. Next slide, please. All right, next slide. This is just the rationale we created for review. As elegantly mentioned at our last meeting, this is different in the prioritization that grounds our work for new data classes. This is just prioritization for the purposes of our timeline, not prioritization for inclusion. One of the principles that we identified early was just wanting to make sure that we created time to address some of the sticky or more compelling elements that we might have to address with public comment and trying to get those on the agenda in the middle of our work, which is enough time to get public input, but enough time to do the work itself. And again, right now, leaning into the elements related to advanced care planning being kind of the most critical in that area. We did receive some feedback via email and I think actually it was on the spreadsheet regarding possibly including our colleagues working on the fire physical activity implementation guide for a public presentation when we're addressing that work, given the headway that IG has made in that space. So I'm hoping we didn't have time to include them in this meeting, but hoping to get, again, our colleagues working on the physical activity IG to the next meeting in order to have them share with us their work. Any questions on this? All right. Okay, and I do see a pretty important comment from Hans regarding an element that might be missed. So thank you. In the chat. All right, next slide, please. Oh, Al, do you have something you want to say?
No, I was just going to say I saw the comment and we're on it. ONC is on it.
Okay. Again, Hans, thank you for your careful review on the now tab in our work, which talks about alignment with FHIR and CCDA. And thank you for thank you for that comment as well regarding the missing element. We just wanted to sorry.
I've got a hand up.
Oh, sorry, Stephen. Yes, my apologies. I'm sorry, it blended in with the paint on your ceiling.
It's all good. The facility data elements really track back to some needs that have been identified by CMS in particular. And I think, and we haven't discussed those original needs this cycle, though we've discussed them in the past. And I just think it'd be nice when we get to those data elements to discuss, to have CMS kind of remind the group and all the new members of why this is so important to their workflows. And for us to have the chance to discuss, you know, why these are appropriate for USCDI itself as opposed to USCDI Plus, and just so we can all be on the same page there.
That sounds great, Stephen. And I think Mark and I have both commented also on possibly bringing in experts from the social care taxonomy ecosystem, especially given the advancements in creating the Human Services Directory, IG, over the last 6 months, which directly relates to some identification and similar elements to facility identifiers. So CMS, one critical voice, absolutely. And then should we be interested, it feels like members from the social care taxonomy ecosystem might be helpful as well.
This is Steve Eitner, Sarah. I just want to interject really quickly that I'm very supportive of Dr. Lane's comments. And from a public health perspective, it makes sense if we can use a common data element or a common field rather than collect similar information in two different methodologies. Mm-hmm. It would definitely be preferable to collect one single data point that can serve both purposes. So we want to make sure we get the right people engaged in that conversation so that we're not unnecessarily duplicating work on the provider end for having to supply duplicative data if there's an easy way that we could win with a single submission or a single data element, perhaps submitted in two different ways to meet different purposes. And that would apply both to facility data and to SDOH information as well.
Wonderful, Stephen. As a terminologist, I 100% agree. In the simplifying and sharing definitions.
So just want to be sure as we're doing presentation or any presenter coming in space, we're getting good representation from both ends in that space. And perhaps CDC as not a co-presenter, but if we're going to explore the facility information, also look to CDC for what they're looking for facility information, so we can kind of balance those interests or consider those interests.
So specifically for, just to encapsulate, Hans, let's actually go to you next, but I'm just going to hold space for the voices I hear being relevant for facility information, and then Hans.
Yeah, except I would like to just underscore the comments by Ike and Stephen for UCDI Plus, but in general, is that where we have data that is referenced in both, where there's good reasons to be referenced in one, the other, or both, but where they're referenced in both, that it's very clear that it is the same, because as we get into the standards that are needed to support those, that's where we are looking at to make sure is that we are not ending up with different interpretations of what that might mean, then leading to what Ike's concern is as well, that we might end up collecting it in two different ways where it's meant to be the same. So in principle, it's not a problem that it's referenced, as long as it's very clear that it's truly the same concept or it's truly not.
Okay, so what I hear us saying is that this started with identifying specifically voices being important for physical activity, and we'll work that into a prior meeting, but I heard us identify a few different voices that would be important for standardization, both in meaning and in data elements and recommendations across CDC, CMS, and some of the social care taxonomies, and maybe trying to include them in the next meeting to ensure we have all voices at the table. Is that a correct summary of what I heard?
This is Steve. I think close. I think the idea is, if we're looking at having expertise come in and discuss any of the new elements, it might be very useful to have presentations from both potential or all potential user groups, so that if you're looking at a research use for the data and there's a different expert or different use of that data, we're getting input from all the potential users of that data, just to ensure that we've got harmony going on.
Fantastic. And so if we can note any possible, again, we'll communicate to the public that we're addressing facilities, but if we can note any additional stakeholders we feel like need to be represented in the Google Doc, that'd be helpful, and agree on the need for including as many voices as possible.
Or this is necessary.
Thank you. Yes, Ike, thank you. Nadra?
Yes. Hi, good morning. So I just wanted to add that I most definitely concur. CDC and CMS have worked together to provide joint support for a lot of the data elements related to facilities. So for those that we, related to that, I can make sure that we have the right, the right persons at the table to express those, that need and the priority. So I don't know in terms, this is my first time participating. I don't know if there's a schedule for when, particular data elements might be addressed, or they would be identified in a given meeting for the next meeting. But yeah, if you let me know ahead of time, I can make sure, though, we have those representatives from our respective programs within CDC to, discuss those.
I think, and Naresh and Mike and Al, tell me if I'm wrong, I think we can actually, if we can try to leverage necessary voices in time or prior to the next meeting next week, that would be wonderful. But if not, we can move it to the following week. Al, Mike, Naresh, does that seem reasonable?
Yes. We've done this in the past where we schedule certain things even as far out as a few weeks. We know that we're going to talk about it on a given date, whether it's next week or 2 weeks, 3 weeks down the road, if it meets with everybody's scheduling requirements.
Maybe a 2 week buffer is more appropriate given federal lead times. I guess leaves us plenty of time to accomplish the task prior to submission of the recommendation.
Sarah, it's Mark. Sometimes the people in the community need even more than 2 weeks in order to coalesce, agree on what they're recommending, get it into a slide deck that gets to ONC in advance so it can be published for the public. I think we just try to do the best we can, and sometimes it fits a good timeline and sometimes it's a little fast, but just lagging.
All right, so maybe we can state at least that we're aiming for the meeting on the 22nd or 1st, and we'll do the best we can. Seems like a good step forward. Any other comments on the facility data elements?
Hey, this is Naresh. Quick comment to iterate what Stephen has mentioned, Eckner. Would it help the workgroup to have a separate column on the Google document that explains the other data stakeholders from a user perspective? Or the data utilizer perspective?
It seems like it would right now.
Sorry, Naresh, who was that question for?
So just for Elle and Sarah, if we have to edit the, based on the feedback from Stephen, would it make sense for us to have a column in the Google document that refers to similar standards pertaining to the comments that was made on similar elements with other standards? To just capture that.
We can, I think that's a good idea going forward. Right now, we are including some of those elements in work group discussion. I think the fire physical activity ID element was elsewhere, but I think that's an interesting idea. It wouldn't hurt to ensure that we were thorough in that process.
Sounds good. I see Mark's hands up. Mark?
Mark, thank you. I'm sorry.
Thanks. Just also bringing us back to Ike's and many points that we also want to make sure that we're not putting different standards on the chart and thinking that they can all be used. The important thing is to agree on which one is referred to and that the others are not. And so having multiple standards, that some of which are relevant to our work and some of which are not, risks a little bit of confusion. But I think it's still helpful to have the catalog, but just bringing us back to Ike's comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. And then Ike?
I'm not sure that we want to identify stakeholders for every data element from a public health perspective in particular. There may be some that we use more regularly and are more of a focus. But looking at response to a public health issue or an outbreak or a pandemic situation, there may be a floating need for substantially different data, again, depending upon the particular situation. So I'm not sure we can cut it quite that way. We can certainly look at, you know, things that are of primary interest or usual interest to particular users. But I'm not sure we can be as specific as or want to go to a place where we would be casting a potential, hey, you know, this is a limitation on who's accessing or who might use a particular element or class.
Thank you, Ike. Pooja?
Yeah, going back to Mark's comment, this brings up a question I had, and I put this in the spreadsheet on the pharmacy side. So, you know, we're using different, if you have a long-term care facility-based pharmacy is very different than an ambulatory and community-based in terms of, you know, standards and the code sets that they're using. So that was one of my questions is, I understand we can, you know, we can't use everything, but I'm assuming we really want to be looking across different settings in the medication, well, in all the spaces, but particularly medications. But just love some thoughts on that as we move forward.
Pooja, that's a good point. I wonder if it's appropriate to apply that in particular to the collective work of this group when we move to the spreadsheet, and we can just lean into, we do have, Shelley's here as well. We have a pretty good, and I may have neglected another one of our pharmacy reps, but I just want to note that those are really good discussions to have on the spreadsheet so that we can discuss it in particular. Does that sound like an okay plan?
Perfect. Yes. Thank you.
All right. Any other comments before we actually move to the spreadsheet and start, analyzing some of the elements and discussion points people have put there so far, and try to start applying some recommendations, at least to initial recommendations, to start moving forward in our charge? It looks like Shelley has her hand up.
Yes, thank you. To address Pooja's concerns, the Pharmacy HIT Collaborative, which sets up the coding for the pharmacy profession, does take into consideration all practice settings that pharmacists are in, including the LTPAC and AmCare, hospital, oncology. So we are very well covered in that particular arena. And through our comments, we'll make sure that the coding terminology standards that we recommend are applicable to all practice settings.
Thank you so much, Shelley. All right. Any other comments? We put this here just as a reminder that this is the general prioritization criteria that's applied to identify elements that are eligible for USCDI. Again, this is the important prioritization criteria. The prioritization criteria on the other slide was just, again, in consideration of public comment, again, trying to create time for people to come to elements that might need more time. Next slide, please. Next slide, I believe we now go to the doc to try to do some collective work and maybe move some elements along that need to be, that may be able to be moved along at this time.
Everybody see my screen?
I believe we can now, yeah.
All right, let me zoom in so people with small computers are bad. Find my zoom button. Here we go. Sorry. Might be too much.
I think that probably is too much, unfortunately.
How about this?
That seems good enough, friends. Do we feel like that's sufficient?
And then before we do, I wanted to, I think, Sarah, you may have touched on this, but just in case, I just wanted to orient members in the public to some changes we made to this spreadsheet. Number one, we did discuss the original list of data elements that are new to draft V4. And these are listed here. A component of this tab is current thoughts on how these may or do map to both the FHIR IG and the CCDA IG. This is some work that was done by Hans and some others. And it serves as a reference for work group members to take into consideration when they make recommendations. It's not meant to capture comments. It's just meant as a reference for consideration. And then the second is this. This is as a reference, current prioritization criteria. And as a reminder, the prioritization criteria are what are used to select amongst the level two data elements to add data elements to USCDI new versions. So. The first bar they have to clear is that they are level two data elements before the prioritization criteria are applied to select for USCDI. So with that in mind, we'll start with the spreadsheet. And these are listed in order. This order correlates to the list that is on the slides, not alphabetical, not in order of anything other than we think that these are going to be more straightforward and get less straightforward as we go down or require more comments, input, adjustments. So we're starting here. Sarah?
Yes, thank you so much, Al. The hope is to just get some early wins, right? So in respect to the fact that we do have a lot of new members, I don't want to default to the fact, one of which is myself, I don't want to default to the fact that lack of comment means approval, right? So if the assumption is that we should be, approving in some sense, building off the work that ONC has done prior to us. So really raising and just diving into elements that are more, that need like the collective wisdom of this group. So I have seen no comments yet regarding, it looks like Hans has a new comment regarding allergies and intolerances. Can we go over? Hans, we have to clarify the purpose of the substance information and other two concepts. Hans, can you help us understand your comment for contextual grounding just as we work down the list, please? Thank you.
When looking at the definition of, or the intended definition of the proposal, it is not totally clear what level of granularity is intended here. There are within the standards, US Core in particular, a couple of different places where that could occur. So if there's additional guidance beyond what's currently stated to help clarify that, that would make it a lot easier downstream when this is being used, and whether an update to Fire US Core in this case would need to be made or not, that could be assessed. At times we've seen that the description in USCDI would allow for different interpretations on how you could do it or what's really meant with it. The more that we can do that upfront as part of USCDI and be more crisp about that. Substance is one example where you could go a couple of different ways, either as a result it's already there, or as a result some additional guidance needs to be provided. And particularly in the second case, a general comment that you may hear me make, and those that have been in past discussions have heard me made it, is that USCDI currently is a list, and that has been clarified as well, that any HIT that wants to be certified must be able to support. And the support has particular meanings what that is, particularly one part of it that you have to be able to create documents and otherwise accordingly at that granular level of that data. That may or may not always be appropriate, but this would also help understand is that what in USCDI are we actually asking certain HIT to support that might not be relevant? Not that we can solve that right now here, but it is relevant for both parts what kind of implementation guidance is already there or may need to be made, as well as understanding, are we asking more HIT to support it, not just the HRs, but HIT that wishes to be certified to support that. So if there's any further guidance from those who submitted on what they meant with it, that would be very helpful.
Hans, that makes a lot of sense. Shelley, any further thoughts?
Yes, I mean, Hans is actually correct, but what we're trying to do within pharmacy, and we're not quite ready yet, we have a project going on with the United States Pharmacopeia, but what we have in the data class now under allergy and tolerance is strictly for observation. So there is an allergy and it is observed, and this is the criticality and severity of that allergy. What we're working on is more of the potential adverse drug events that could take place, which would be codified using pharmacogenomic information, not only what the interventions took place in SNOMED, but also using LOINC, some of the laboratory data that would come from a pharmacogenomic test as an example. And then there's the process of the investigation that takes place to assure that the allergy intolerance that was observed is actually an observed allergy intolerance, all the way then to reporting to the FDA for FAERS reporting. And all of those points will hopefully come in future versions of USCDI as we flush it out within a pharmacy.
Thank you, Shelley.
I just want to interject something really fast for Shelley. Shelley, one of my curiosities in the space is that we've done a really good job with allergens for vaccinations, immunizations, but there's always an outlier. And I'm probably the outlier there. I'm not allergic to any medication, but intramuscular injections create a real problem for me. But there's not a way of reporting that as a risk factor with respect to immunizations and vaccinations.
I'm with you, definitely with you, Stephen, that this whole aspect of what we're doing with allergies within EHR documentation is an emerging area. Right, and so, I agree, it has to be attached to immunization.
So the other piece there is that in the bigger scope, as you're looking in that space, we need to figure out a way of incorporating other risks as a note, you know, without duplicating those records, or without duplicating needs, or having physicians have to go search in notes files or, you know, other places for it. So that's another little wrinkle.
I totally agree with you. And those are on our roadmap to Wonderful. Figure out. Yes.
Thank you. And thank you for allowing me that brief redirection.
And this is Al. I could address Hans' question as well. As far as clarification goes, Hans, the intent of this particular data element, if that's what you're asking about, is that it is a list of substances so the individual allergy and intolerance to a substance that is not a medication mm-hmm. Would be a set of values represented by a certain code, some applicable standard code set, be it SNOMED, likely SNOMED, but the intent is to capture a category or a type of allergy and intolerance that is not represented by medication or a medication class like we currently have. So it's just an extra one. Things like food and environmental, it's in that. That is the intent of this data element. So that helps.
I think it helps, and I put in a text, and it sounds like that if I hear you correctly, it's more than the first interpretation than the second interpretation, if I hear you correctly.
You mean, Hans, you mean specific substance? Is that what you're saying, as opposed to the pharmaceutical product?
Yeah, from a substance perspective, it's more the first statement that I put in a chat than the second.
So it's regarding that first, your first definition, which, Just to say it out loud, the first one is code that identifies the allergy and intolerance. Now, if you mean the reaction that happens after exposure to an allergen, that's not the intent.
Okay.
It is to identify the substance that causes the reaction. So hopefully that's the intent of it. Just like allergy to medicine, it's not the reaction that you get when you're exposed to a medicine. It is the medicine that causes.
So it's the non-pharmaceutical substance, right? The example in the submission was eggs, latex, et cetera,
That would be helpful to clarify, because there's a couple of different...
Not but egg or pollen, yeah.
Yeah. So Hans, hopefully, the submitter was Diameter Health, it looks like, and it was the use case and rationale was specifically focusing on instances like latex and eggs, which are very important for clinical care, but are not represented currently in the pharmaceutical set, right? And if it's important to get the submitter here to give further information, I want to hold that up because Hans, that might be important. Ricky, it looks like you have a thought.
Yes, kind of building on what's been said, I think some of this has been covered already, but I just wanted to highlight that right now, the coding system that is recommended for use within US Core is SNOMED, as was mentioned. There are two specific categories within SNOMED. There's both the pharmaceutical biological product and then the substance, and this would fall into the substance. But I think one of the things that would be useful to hear from either Shelley, who has experience in this, or Diameter Health, is whether the use of SNOMED here is sufficient for the categories and the examples that they're looking at, or whether we need to consider other coding systems. I know Loink was mentioned as well, but given the predominant use of SNOMED for this FHIR resource, mm-hmm. it might be useful to make sure that we're being comprehensive here.
That seems important. And luckily, Shelley has her hand up. Shelley, Do you?
Yes. And this is what we're finding in terms of drugs, which has already been identified, really should be Rx norm. What the compendiums do within their clinical decision support algorithms is use the drug class. And what we're finding is the drug class is not granular enough to identify the clinical manifestations that can occur from drug or even the individual ingredients that are part of a combined drug, such as a filler or a dye that would be used. And so, as I said, again, this is work that we are working on to identify more. What we're finding is SNOMED would be applicable to the non-medication products, such as eggs or latex, but for the medications themselves or the would be Rx norm.
Thank you, Shelley. Albert?
Okay, so the other thing that I wanted to say, the previous commenter, sorry, I didn't catch who said it, but when we're talking about applicable vocabulary standards in USCDI, this as the intent of sort of designating an applicable vocabulary standard is to say what health IT should be able to represent at least, not necessarily every possible encoding of an allergen, non-food, non-medication allergen, but at least represent. And so that could be the majority of or sort of best single fit when it seems like one standard is, covers a lot of ground, but maybe not all of it. So we have, other examples in USCDI. Sometimes there are multiple standards that should be used to represent something like problem is represented with SNOMED and ICD-10, different use cases for the different vocabulary that are used. In the case of SNOMED, it's possible that SNOMED covers enough ground to where it has to be, it's sufficient to be the minimum standard required to represent it, even if it does not require everything. Because we have to set something, we have to set a guideline in certification about what a system has to be able to do in order to meet that particular data element.
Thank you, Al. I believe it was Ricky who was talking about the substance hierarchy within SNOMED CT. So I'm going to ask a question just for the sake of trying to, and it looks like there's no further questions. So for the sake of moving forward, we've clarified the definition, the grounding of this being non-pharmaceutical substance that are relevant for clinical care according to the submission. The submission also references leaning on the SNOMED CT substance hierarchy there. So I do recognize, and I think Ricky was raising this, a need to ensure that there's not missing data classes. Al mentioned that, the caveats there. I definitely want to reference again the consideration for LOINC. But is it okay to consider an initial recommendation with those initial, again, not final, initial recommendation for inclusion in USCDI V4 with all of the intelligence of all the comments noted in discussion, and we can try to ensure that we capture that in our discussions that can be included in the final report, even though it's an ongoing topic. Does that seem fair?
Yes, that sounds reasonable. This is Ricky.
Thank you. Devin, any further thoughts on that matter?
Well, it's a related matter. I don't know if it's related to the question that Ricky just addressed. I was starting to have a conversation in the chat and Dr. Lane responded to me, and it occurred to me that it might be worth just raising with the group really quickly. So where does pharmacogenetic results fit into the allergy does it fit in allergy and intolerance category? If someone has a genetic test that shows that a medication would not be effective for them, or it's not exactly an allergy or intolerance, but it certainly is a quality of care issue and one where there is a growing body of evidence around the cost savings that can accrue to with respect to certain pharmacogenetic results, in addition to, of course, alleviating suffering if people are getting the wrong drug, even if they're not necessarily manifesting an intolerance. So, and Stephen says he thinks it's applicable for potential ADE, but not an allergy or an intolerance. At any rate, I just wanted, while we're on the topic of drugs, just thought I'd bring it up.
Yeah, I haven't seen, Devin, this is Ricky, I haven't seen that allergy intolerance has been modeled to include pharmacogenomics yet, right. But it's certainly a great comment and point and something that will likely be used more in the future. So maybe something that could be considered in the appropriate HL7 work group.
Okay, thank you.
And I'll add, this is Al, I'll add that there's a set of codes that include the concept propensity toward intolerance. And I think in the case of, so it's possible that pharmacogenetics could indicate a propensity towards intolerance, and things like general anesthesia is something that there's a genetic test for that. And that genetic test could result in a propensity toward intolerance of general anesthesia, and so might fit into that category. And that might be what you had in mind, Devin. But I think it could, but it may not, the scope of this particular data element may not be sufficient to cover that ground as well, along with the example that I gave about an intolerance to a procedure.
Shelley?
Yes, you're on the right track. And what we're seeing in USCDI right now is for observation. You've observed, you're recording it in your system to assure that something isn't going to happen in the future. And what we're looking at for potential versions of future USCDI would be a category of potential adverse drug events where you would use LOINC for the actual pharmacogenomic testing, and then you would use SNOMED for the interventions that you're actually occurring, and of course RxNorm for identifying the drug that would actually, or the medication that would actually cause that potential error. All of that is still work that's being done, so it isn't appropriate to put it into USCDI now, but it is something that, especially on the pharmacy side, that we're looking at for future use.
Shelly, that all makes a lot of sense. So thank you. All right, so this is future to be determined additional information. And so I what I hear us saying is an initial recommendation for inclusion. Justification is in line. I see everything. The elements we've been raising are in line with the submission, which are just missing. We have pharmacology covered well in allergies and intolerances, but not non-pharmacological substances. I hear us referencing the SNOMED substance set, but needing to consider LOINC, and I tried to put that in the work group discussion. And I want to just note, Grace, just as you were mentioning, you're with us right now, but that I am trying to note alignments with prioritization criteria. So this seems like a prioritization criteria number 5, which is a critical missing element. Given that it's the missing facet that builds upon the pharmacology sets that are already in USCDI. Hans?
Just a general question, procedural. As we go through, we have comments and discussion specific about a data class, data element, and capturing that here. Where do we along the way capture candidates for general recommendations and comments or considerations that do not apply to necessarily any particular one or that apply to a number of them? Where would we like to keep track of those?
I'm going to lean on those who've come before me for precedent, but it seems like those kinds of things should be captured in a conversation section of our final recommendations, right? Things that have been recommended and discussed from the wisdom of the collective, but don't necessarily specifically align with a USCDI before or in level 2 submission. Is that the precedent that came before us? So do not lose that wisdom in our conversation.
Yeah, and I think we did it in the past, either in line with this spreadsheet or had a different tab that we could keep track of those as they came about. Because there's one of the comments that I think we want to keep track of as well that came up in this conversation.
For now, can we put it in the, given that it arose during this discussion of this data element, maybe we can put it in the workgroup discussion there. So at least it can be captured. I tried as best to do shorthand conversation regarding SNOMED and LOINC, but it seems like whoever is willing to include those elements. And we do get a printout of the chat, of course, to try to abstract it. But if someone wouldn't mind leaning into the workgroup discussion and documenting the key findings from that in there, that would be helpful.
Sarah, that is consistent with how we've done this in years past, keeping it in the discussion and then pulling from that when we put together the final recommendation.
Oh, good. Thank you, Stephen. My instincts are not off.
So you would like to then do it in the chat discussion, not in the column J? Or
no, I'm sorry. It's actually I might have misspoke. I actually hope we can include it in column J.
Okay.
And we will just take it out, given if it's information that was covered in conversation of this element, but it's not directly related to the element, it will be here for posterity and able to be extracted into our final recommendations.
Got it. I'll add a comment in there then. Okay.
And this is Al again, just real quick. So SNOMED is the current applicable vocabulary standard for this data element in draft B4. And I would suggest that where changes to those applicable vocabulary standards are recommended, that even a shorthand justification for a specific justification for why an alternative is being recommended. So with LOINC, the example of pharmacogenetics is, you know, which is better represented with LOINC rather than SNOMED. So adding a justification where changes are recommended.
Thank you all. That's very helpful. All right. So looking for friends and colleagues to ensure that we capture the really critical wisdom and document in the workgroup discussion. I did do a shorthand note regarding SNOMED and LOINC, and I look to colleagues and myself to lean into that so we can make sure it's included in our final recommendations. Hoping to move on to the next element again, just to kind of keep our work going forward. I believe encounter information and encounter identifier were the next elements of review. Again, I don't see any comments on this at all. Hans had added elements on the first one. So again, understanding the precedent that comes, the public comment, the elevation from ONC, any concerns with approving and recommending a encounter identifier? We can go to the submission if need be. Any conversation regarding this?
This one seems like a relatively straightforward technical change that's already a required part of US core, so it seems relatively uncontroversial.
Yep.
I agree. Okay.
You're here.
Okay, that's a nice one. All right. All right, going once, going twice. It sounds like initial approval. Moving on to a set of different elements that are new, newly grouped within the health status assessments area. There are three, alcohol use, substance use, and physical activity. Hoping to lean into alcohol use first. I want to note that Stephen and myself both comment that the submission of reference for USCD B4 is LOINC and referencing standardized instruments. But there's a different level two submission which represents with SNOMED. Both are applicable and aligned with data standards. So we would merge the USCID 4 submission and the existing level two submission, which I think was submitted by our friends at NACA, Judea Skapik. So just want to center us in that conversation. Both the LOINC element in the submission in USCID 4 and the SNOMED CT reference in the level two alcohol use area, and now open for conversation. Bryant?
I wanted to open the conversation with a joke. I'm glad we waited until February, not dry January, to have these discussions.
So. Noted. Thank you, Stephen.
While I can't point directly to it, my recollection is that we have precedent for data elements that could be satisfied using one of two data standards. So I don't think it would be out of the question to allow both SNOMED and LOINC in this situation.
I agree. I also, again, tried to put in the prioritization criteria. This, again, is aligned with behavioral health, the first prioritization criteria for USCID4. Any further thoughts on alcohol use as an addition under the health status assessments area? Well, that sounds like a really
curious about the ONC response, maybe from Al or others. You know, this has come up before where they're very close. It'll come up again. In fact, when we get to advanced directives, they're closely related submissions. And it seems like ONC has sort of picked one of a set of submissions to suggest for advancement. And I'm just curious what the thinking was behind that, as opposed to, you know, making the effort to harmonize or bring forward, you know, multiple overlapping suggestions.
So we acknowledge that there are sometimes, and in this case, data elements that are very similar, if not identical, and we work to resolve them. We have not resolved all of them, clearly. As evidenced by this, there's the submissions may have been done over time. Some, like in I think in this case, one was a social history and one was a substance use history submission. And we worked to reconcile those two and come up with what we think is the best related data element to meet the goals, which is in this example to advance behavioral health data for interoperability. So we look at what's submitted, and we sometimes make changes to including things like the vocabulary standards or the definitions to fit sort of a broader use case or somewhat different use case. And in the example, with the example of alcohol use, we felt like obviously the topic of alcohol use is important. It's a very important assessment of, you know, of health that that in various care settings needs to be done or should be done. Then we may have modified a particular submission to meet that. The use case that we felt like was most appropriate, and that's one of the reasons why it went from either the social history data class in the submission or the substance use data class to this the assessments data class, the health status assessments data class, rather than alcohol or other substance use disorders, which is a problem. Which is categorized as a problem or a diagnosis. In that case, it would be, you know, maybe more appropriate in a problems data class, but it was reclassified into this for that reason.
Thank you, Alan. I believe in the SNOMED CT relevant submission, Dr. Skeptic was referencing the use of SNOMED CT in social history documentation. So that aligns with your statements. And of course, it aligns with the mapping to FHIR and CCDA and use of those elements in social history as well. So that is good to know. Ricky?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment. I agree with everything that Al said here. The precedent that exists for US Corps right now for smoking status is that specific guidance was given around use of a single LOINC code. If I remember correctly, the reason that a completely separate profile was created for smoking status was because of some of the unique aspects here, but also because there was interest in ensuring interoperability, because there are, you know, multiple codes potentially, and to try to align on as narrow a definition as possible to ensure this could be interpreted easily across systems. So I think there's some thinking that could happen here as to whether we need something similar for alcohol status, for other substances. And smoking status is an observation with a category code of social history, is how it was defined. And then you add the single code for the smoking status. So I think that might just be a part of the conversation in terms of subsequent standards development, if this general, you know, motion is approved. But just wanted to raise that in case this group has any thoughts or opinions about how we might recommend any of those details out of this committee.
Thank you, Ricky. That's really important, I think, not just for this element, but some of the others in this set. Any other thoughts on what Ricky has raised? Shelley?
Yes, for when we're talking about substance use, so as an example, and maybe I'm not clarifying this right, we're not talking just about alcohol, we're talking about other substances such as cannabis or some of the psychedelics. We are seeing RX norm beginning to code some of those. So would it be beneficial to add RX norm? Is something I haven't quite wrapped my head around, but it is emerging.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. For substance, there's definitely a much, much larger list, and a list that is ever growing, as you know, there's all sorts of new substances that are being used or abused, like Tide Pods and all sorts of things that probably don't even have you know, codes associated with them. So that needs to be more flexible. I think the broad question here is whether we have any thoughts about how that should be considered to ensure maximum interoperability. I think Al's point earlier that the code sets recommended as part of US Core are recommended to be sort of a minimum baseline set to help, you know, provide some guidance here. And I think the question for alcohol and other substances, which are two separate categories here, whether there should be similar guidance to ensure maximum interoperability.
Ricky, thank you. I'm gonna ask, so Shelley, if you wouldn't mind putting the RX norm element in the substance use row in column J, that'd be really helpful, I think, because it's, again, one of those considerations that's really important. And Ricky, if you wouldn't mind encapsulating that brilliant thought in one of the areas, just so we can make sure it's captured from a conversation perspective. It can be an alcohol use, because that's where it started. but fully agree. And I just want to note, there was some, there was on the mapping to fire and CCDA, I want to just note that there was the Gravity Project SCOH assessments was brought up as a precedent. Gravity Project did not address alcohol use, substance use, et cetera. So it would be aligned with previous work in similar assessment categories, but just want to make a comment, putting my Gravity Project hat on, that these two elements are not currently in Gravity scope. So they would be aligned with the SDOH assessments category, but would not be included in that work at this time. Maybe in the future, but right now not. All right, Brian?
Yeah, I just wanted to share, I'll try to get some advance results from this that could inform our discussion here, but wanted for awareness, the group to know that ASTO, the Washington State Department of Health and the University of Washington are currently doing an evaluation of the smoking status data elements in electronic medical record systems in health insurance. Claims is not the right term, but rate reduction categories, that self-attestation of non-smoking status with insurance companies, and the all-payer claims data to see how smoking status is actually used and if there's consistencies across these different data sets. So that could potentially inform and let us know, you know, how useful is the smoking status as one of the examples listed here in the EHR, people actually using it the way we think they're using it.
Thank you so much, Bryant. Hans, any other final thoughts?
Yes, I'm reacting to your comment that the elements are not yet defined in SDOH and are not on the calendar yet, which if you look at the progression before, Gravity has been used recently to then inform Fire US Core and CCDA, but particularly Fire US Core, on how to address some of the SDOH data. Do you foresee this to be an area that requires a fair amount of effort beyond adding the appropriate code set, value set that needs to be supported? Or is it indeed just from your perspective, as you've seen it, a value set addition in the context of already existing structures and guidance that's out there? Because that would indicate is that what's the complexity of this to get that included in the right places in the right time?
I'm going to do my best to give a off-the-cuff answer to that. So the good thing about each of these elements, alcohol use and substance use, is the standardization of screening instrumentation, which is the primary focus of this area of work with Gravity, are far further along than the social determinants of health elements are. So I feel like there's little risk in proceeding with this as it stands right now, given the fact that even in the submission, the highly evidence-based standardized instruments that would be included from a LOINC perspective have been in the ecosystem for a long, long time. The only thing that would be problematic would be the SNOMED CT terms, but Ricky notes that we would limit that set just by focusing on some of the precedent going forward. I hope that was a good answer to your question, Hans.
It certainly clarifies and it's helpful.
All right, we've had a lot of wonderful discussion and some of it actually goes along, is carried across each of the different elements, alcohol use and substance use, which are considered independently. I hear it's very similar actually to our first element, which is the, that we discussed, which is the substance, non-medication substance addition to allergies and intolerances. It's approved with wise commentary. Right. So it's not that we do not approve of the USCI class. We approve of it. It aligns with prioritization category number one. There's a lot of thoughts from the wisdom of this collective regarding considerations therein. Does that seem safe to say?
Sarah, this is Steve. I've got one quick question that I honestly don't know the answer to. As marijuana becomes more in use from a medical perspective, is that being considered as substance use, or is that being, how is that falling into the envelope?
That is a brilliant question.
I'm happy to respond as a clinician, if you like. I mean, it is tricky because, you know, when people use cannabis, it can be recreational and or it can be therapeutic. And certainly in my practice, I've often chosen to put it on the medication list. When it's being used therapeutically, but certainly don't do that when it's being used recreationally. It's an important point.
And this is Al. I wanted, if I may, just as with that sort of thing in mind, we crafted the definition for substance use as the evaluation of a patient's reported use of drugs or other substances for non-medical purposes or in excess of valid prescription. And so I think that addresses that problem. And so your responses to a substance use questionnaire would be about non-medical use.
That's wonderful, Al. I figured you probably had something in mind for that. My friendly amendment is that any recommendation we make in the space, that we highlight that as an important factor going forward so that there's a clear understanding and use of that field. In line with the definition, that would be an easy one, that if you were not paying attention or understood the definition, that you might misapply it.
And all I recognize that the spreadsheet does not have the official published definitions and standards that we have on draft before. I'll remedy that in the very, very near future.
Oh,
so that anybody who wants to have a comment, they can comment referencing a definition or a standard. And it's just missing.
That was not intended as a critique, but my suggestion is looking at including that as a recommendation going forward, because quite often definitions get lost or placed in other places and not hit front and center. And I think a lot of folks are accustomed to a certain definition. The change is a helpful change, but reminding folks that there is a change is useful throughout. That might be something that the committee wants to highlight going through as a recommendation, my clarification on the utility at the end of the day.
Okay, any other further thoughts on alcohol use as it merges into substance use? We kind of talked about both rows at this time. It looks like
Sarah, the only comment is that the one that I just put in the chat is that it sounds like there's still some potential follow-up on these. So I want to make sure that we understand the meaning of approve here, whether that is a draft approve, which I think it was in the end, or a final approve, which sounded more like encounter identify that. Yeah, that seemed to be very straightforward.
Thank you, Hans, for raising that. So the column K at present is final recommendation. So it seems for encounter identifier, there's absolutely no further conversation. You're correct. We can move to final recommendation. And for the other elements, as far as I understand, it is a draft recommendation with further conversation to happen until it moves to that state. Does that seem fair?
Yep. No, that clarifies. Thank you.
Okay. All right. And again, the thoroughness of our commentary is driven by the ability to document the considerations from the collective in the work group discussion. So if you, we are again recording this conversation, we're capturing the chat, but if you were responsible for something that drove conversation, please do take time if you can after the meeting or even now to go into the work group discussion element and make sure your thoughts are documented. Oh, there we go. Al's making edits as we go. So I just want to note that we did talk about, if we think about moving on to substance use, which I think was the next one after, we went straight to physical activity. There we go. So in physical activity, there was a comment Yeah, substance use did disappear. I don't know where it went. Sad, it was there. I mean, oh, there we go. No, that's not it. We'll find it in a version and make sure that we include the comments. The good thing is much of the comments we had regarding alcohol use apply to substance use as well. Mm-hmm.
Is it previously labeled drug use and renamed substance use?
Yes.
So I wonder if it...
It's a couple down. It ended up on row 9.
Can reshuffle it. Yeah, thank
there
you.
There it is.
Somehow.
Okay, oh, thank you.
I think I got it.
Al is shuffling the deck on us as we go forward. So, all right. So the good thing is the entry numbers can ground us, right, Al?
The entry number is manual, so it should sort. Oh, wait, that's a good idea. We'll sort it out later, but we're out
for now. Yeah. So for the next element, even though the location on the spreadsheet has changed, the next element via entry number, which is the original or documentation, is substance use. I believe much of the conversation we just had regarding alcohol use applies here. I do want to open up the conversation to ensure that I am not incorrect in that. Again, in the original submission, there were a few LOINC instruments that were recommended in the USCDI. There is an applicable level 2 element as well, I think, or at least there's an ISA page that has different elements. Open for conversation. again, making sure we differentiate substance use from substance non-medication that we already covered prior. Any thoughts? Are we feeling like we covered the, again, shared concerns really across alcohol and substance use? And again, highlighting the fact that marijuana is used in therapeutic purposes and would have to be documented separately if that's the case, and that consideration was part of the definition. Are we okay with a conditional, like early approval? Shelley?
I'm a little confused. Would substance use, if it's recreational for cannabis, would we still codify it in SNOMED? Is that what we're saying? Or would we use, or LOINC, or would we use RX norm since there are RX norm codes for cannabis? Even though it isn't a prescribed medication, it would be still recreational.
Really, the primary use case for this data element is assessment of and not identification of. So identification of substance use or assessment of substance use rather than naming the medication or substance. So I don't know if that helps or.
So you would just be like a yes or no, Al, is that what you're saying?
So for example, using the DAST, the drug abuse screening test, that is, okay. So that would be the primary way to document this data element.
So wouldn't that be in an assessment, not necessarily in this section?
It's a particular, well, this is the assessment section. This is the assessment data class.
It is the assessment, okay.
Yeah, it's in the health status assessment data class. And so, yes, it would be. And that's why it's there and not in the problem list, the problem data class, or a separate social history data class.
Got it. Thanks, Al, for clarification.
Yeah, so this is not. So, Al, just to clarify, this does not remove the diagnosis code from being
right.
present in the problem list. This is a supplemental.
Yes, just like going back again to the well-structured SDOH sort of family of data elements. So the SDOH assessment is not the same thing as the SDOH problem / health concern. Same idea. And for the record, it's the same way we deal with, that's the same way we represent basically any clinical issue, is how do we assess the issue? What do we do about the issue? How do we diagnose the issue?
Yeah. Well, so I'm wondering if do we have a precedent? Does the data element name itself, can it be modified to prevent misinterpretation of putting yes, no, or diagnosis codes into this category?
The data element name itself.
Substance use assessment as the data element.
So the name itself was simplified just for clarity, but within the data class of assessment and the definition, being evaluation of, we feel like that combination of things clarifies that sufficiently. But if that's the recommendation, is to make the name like explicit that this is the assessment of instead of the diagnosis of, that's a perfectly legitimate recommendation.
This is Ricky. I think these are all great pieces of feedback for the profile development that will need to happen after this. For example, making sure this is appropriately codified as a social history construct rather than a diagnosis, and then also the concept that Shirley raised around cannabis and whether you know, this is a medication on the list, or a different code than Rx norm. I think those are all things that the profile development can go into and with a bit more nuance to figure out what makes sense when this is used at scale. To the point Hans made earlier, some of this comes down to feasibility from the EHR vendors and what codes they currently use and what makes sense in the real world. And input from this group can be helpful in informing that. And then they can get into more nuance around actually creating that profile. So I can add a few comments here as well into the spreadsheet. I'm not at a computer right now where I can type that, but to highlight some of that nuance as we move our recommendations forward.
Thank you, Ricky. That is, again, incredibly helpful. What I hear us saying is, again, this is akin to a conditional early approval, not a final recommendation, given its shared concerns and some individual concerns with alcohol use, because specifically the capacity for prescription of some of the elements that are within this set. I do want to note, in addition, we see that psychedelics are prescribed within psychiatric settings. There's lots of additional of new and novel, and actually maybe some longstanding, but maybe more standardized uses of substances that would used to be strictly utilized in community settings that are now being prescribed. So that differentiation is important across multiple substances, not just marijuana, of course.
And this is Steve Eitner. I might be jumping a little bit ahead, but thinking about, you know, substance use and substance use non-medication, I guess looking at who's making that determination as to whether it's non-medication patients saying it's, you know, self-medicated, what's the suggestion in looking at that differentiation, line of differentiation? And I might be jumping a little bit ahead, but I do think it's relevant here.
So I actually, that you're referencing what we were talking about before, but it's actually really important, I think, is considering how the conversation regarding prescribed and non-prescribed substances relates to the pharmaceutical versus non-pharmaceutical differentiation within the substances non-medication element. So I believe some of that was picked up in Shelley's conversation, and I see that she has her hand up. Shelley?
Yes, actually, we had this conversation in the HL7 pharmacy work group in relationship to alcohol. We have some settings like a long-term care facility that actually does prescribe alcohol use for some patients. And we're also seeing that also for cannabis. So there are situations, including the LTPAC setting, where it could be either categorized as substance use or could be categorized as medication use. So it is a little, not there isn't a clear line as to what is what, but we have to be able to accommodate both.
And maybe as you all, as many in the chat were commenting, it's not necessarily a limitation on the substance non-medication element, but more a need for a separate new element in line with all of the work that is happening in the pharmaceutical world that Shelley represents. It looks like we are moving to our public comment period. I'll need to step away. Any final thoughts as we wrap up public conversation? Again, I want to thank everybody for your engagement. I really want to hope that folks put all the wisdom that you possibly can into the work group discussion elements so we can move things along as we go forward. Stephen?
Just echoing your thanks to the workgroup members for the great engagement in the spreadsheet. It's incredibly helpful and facilitates our discussions here.
Thank you, Stephen. And just thank you also just for your guidance and helping this novice co-chair learn how to do the work. Any other final thoughts before we move to public comment? Again, we're moving a little early, but I'll need to step away. So I hear, I think we arrived at a conditional approval of substance use. I just want to, before we go into public comment, because we have a couple minutes, I just want to note that we did discuss including bringing folks from the physical activity fire implementation guide to future meetings to assist with that work, because it seems incredibly relevant given the depth that they've gone into in that space. and we'll reach out to the team over there for that purpose. Some of the considerations might be akin to the previous data elements, but it's a little bit different. We also have discussed the facilities elements and all of the work to be done to convene individuals who are important for that work as well. Any other final comments before we move into public comment? All right, Mike, back to you.
All right, great. Thanks, Sarah. We're gonna open up our meeting for public comment. If you're on Zoom and would like to make a comment, please use the hand raise function located on the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you're on the phone only, press *9 to raise your hand, and once called upon, press *6 to mute and unmute your line. So let's pause just for a moment to see if anyone from the public raises their hand. Not seeing any hands raised, Sarah and Naresh. So I know that we have one slide, couple before this about upcoming work group meetings, if you want to cover that before we wrap up.
Yeah, I can't, if we can go to the next slide. This is the slide about our upcoming work group meetings. You can see the number of meetings is diminishing as they occur. Again, I made this yellow call out box because even though our submission is due in the middle of April, I mean, our recommendations are due in the middle of April, it really is important that we get consensus prior. So hoping again, maybe to get some of our stakeholders to our conversations at the end of this month and early next month to ensure that we have everything we need in order to make our final recommendations. I do want to encourage everybody as well if there are level 2 elements, again, that's the second element of our charge, that feel like we need to elevate them into USCIV 4. Again, there's already some examples of this. Please add them at the bottom of the spreadsheet so that we can start looking at them and developing feedback for them. And then in time, we'll address them as well. Any other final thoughts from the collective? All right. Thank you. I'm going to also pivot to Naresh, but thank you so much for this really productive meeting. It feels great to dive into the work and have everybody's wisdom from each of their different stakeholders and representatives and experience come to task to the work we have to do. Naresh, any other final thoughts?
Yep. Great comments, great suggestions, and thanks a lot.
Mike, back to you.
Right, just want to remind everybody that we are back on our normal schedule for the work group next week. We're meeting on Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. And also a note that the full HITAC will meet tomorrow at 10 o'clock. And I know that Sarah and Naresh are providing an update on this work group's work to date. So you're welcome to tune in. You can register on the HITAC calendar. Thanks so much. And we stand adjourned until next week.